morning. I meant to be on the tag team preaching team today, but I have had a horrible 2 weeks and didn't feel up to writing the message. But I just wanted to do an introduction of how we get it together. So Lynn, Cheryl and myself normally pray about a topic, and whatever God puts on our mind, we put it out there on our Facebook message and see what the others have. And Cheryl came out with God wants us to rest and rejuvenate. And actually the devotion I'd been reading at the time was all about resting as well. And then Lynn goes, me too. So God put it on our hearts that we would preach about the topic of rest. But the devotion that I was reading was all about resting in God. The Bible doesn't say rest, you know, have a sleep and you'll feel better, or, you know, you'll get your strength by resting on the couch. No, the Bible says God will give me strength. So rest in God. That's what I had.
And often I'm the last person that sort of pulls it all together in our tag team. And this morning in the prayer room, Lynn said, oh, I'll go first. And I thought, oh, that's strange. Lynn said, oh, I'll go last. And often Lynn wants to go first. And Lynn's prepared something at the end. And I've prepared something at the beginning, which I don't normally do. And it's almost the same words as what Siobhan's just said. I really do stand here honoured that God's given me the courage, because it takes a lot of guts to get up here, I can tell you that, and an opportunity to speak to you. And when we, as Siobhan said, when we prepare as a tag team, God gives us a topic. And yeah, all three of us came through with this rest, renewal, and recuperate ourselves. And I want to say that this is not a lecture or a message of teaching of what we all what you should be doing, because often when you stand up here, you're telling, you know, Pastor Mike's got a wonderful teaching ministry, and you know, you can learn so much from that. But I just want to say that God's been speaking to me about this, and please know that I don't have all the answers, and that I don't put all the points and the methods into practice that God's given me throughout this message, and he's talking to all of us. And I pray that through this message this morning, that God will encourage and support you and me and reveal his love to us all. I also want to pray that the preparation time for this message has been difficult for all three of us, actually. There's past 2 months for Colin and I with his health. Over the last 2 weeks, as Siobhan said, and Lynn and I both felt the same this morning, that it's been really tough to bring this together. So that's confirmation that it's this right message, I think, that it's coming to you. Okay, so Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah, don't go and lay on the couch. We all need time to rest. We all need time to renew our bodies. We all need time to renew our spirits and to replenish who we truly are as human beings and as a child of Christ. In our fast-paced lives, we often think that we can get it all done if we just work a little bit harder, or work a little bit quicker, or work a little bit smarter. Sure, we can take on that extra task, or sure, we can meet that one more deadline. Sure, we can make one more appointment. If we just juggle our day around a bit more, if we just multitask a little bit smarter, how can we say no? It's for my family. It's for my friends. It's for my church. It's for my ministry. It's for my community. Of course I can do it. Are we sometimes too busy doing things for God and ourselves instead of just being with God? I don't mean sitting in a prayer room all day. I don't mean going up to the top of the mountain on your own all the time. I mean being with God in our headspace, in our spirit space. Do we think on God and share the day with him and be guided by his Holy Spirit? Do we hear God's voice in all that we are doing? It is not about how we feel we are doing and where we're going. It's about what we are called to do, to be doing for God. We cannot hear the call of God when our lives are filled with frenzied activity and with the busyness of everyday life. We cannot hear the call of God when we get so busy with day-to-day life that we feel drained, disconnected from our work, from our church, from our family, and from ourselves, and then ultimately disconnected from God. Rest is not optional. It is required, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Just speak to one of the parents in the room that's got a baby. How do they feel about rest when they are walking the floor with their precious little one all hours of the night? Ask them how they feel when they've had broken sleep throughout days on end, when their precious little one has been teething for 2 weeks at a time or more. Ask them what it's like to be broken, or ask somebody who has a severe chronic medical condition what it's like to have broken sleep during the night when you're tossing and turning and you've got that ache and that pain in your back or your side. Or ask a person who's got insomnia, how do they feel in the morning after sleepless nights of tossing and turning or watching TV until 4 a.m, going to sleep at 5 and then waking up at 6. They just can't turn their minds off. They need rest and they need sleep. I'm sure many of you here can relate to at least one of those scenarios in your lives, at least at one stage. Where and how do we find rest? And then where and how do we find renewal? The word rest in Matthew 11 is, in the original Greek, is anapausis, which is derived from two Greek words, ana and paro. Ana means to go up and back, again and again. While paro is to cease, restrain. So together, in Strong's Concordance, it said that it means to give rest, to give intermission to labour, to stop from what you're constantly doing. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, I said at the beginning. The idea of being refreshed and taking a break from our work and ministry is part of God's plan in our lives. Taking a break from our busy life, whether physical, mental, or emotional, is godly. Refreshing our bodies, our minds, and our spirit comes through resting and renewing with Christ as he frees us from our trials of everyday life by providing peace, love, and comfort. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength." I looked in other Bible translations at the word wait for the Lord. The NIV says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." And the Good News said, "But those who trust in the Lord will help to find their strength renewed." All these three words are verbs: wait, hope, and trust. Wait means stay where one is, to remain in readiness for a purpose. Hope is to desire and consider possible, the confidence, expectation of things to come. And trust, a firm belief and reliance on something or someone. This illustrates that we have to take action to do something before we are renewed. We need to take action to wait, hope, and trust. As our relationship with God grows, we begin to see that we need to reorder our thinking. Reorder what we think is important. How we order things that are of worldly importance compared to how we order things that are of godly importance. Can we change our thinking and change our priorities to things that are important to increasing God's kingdom in our lives? By doing this, we will reduce some of the stress and anxiety that creeps into our lives. Once this change of priorities takes place, our life begins to take on a different purpose and a different meaning. Purpose and meaning that not only moves us forward in Christ, with us wanting to know more and more about him, but it also helps us see what truly is important in our Christian walk. When we think about and sort events, challenges, and decisions in our lives with this in mind, we can think of them in two categories. Will this matter tomorrow, or will this matter in eternity? If our thoughts focus on kingdom goals, then everyday problems of this world that we encounter may not seem as important anymore. These problems do not disappear. They are just placed into a different perspective. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." When we draw closer to God and live through the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can become content in our circumstances no matter what struggles we're facing. A strong personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus our Lord becomes essential as we will continue to face problems, hurdles, and major traumatic events in our lives. It is through faith that we get through these times of struggle into a time of rest and renewal. In Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." It is through faith that we will find contentment. It is through faith that relief and rest from anxiety and worry will come. It is through faith that God's plan and purpose for our life will eventuate. It is through faith that we find time to rest and renew our minds. Also, we have a free will. We have a free will to choose peace and rest. We have a free will as to what our minds think about and as to what our minds dwell on. I started to count the number of verses in the Bible that mention that we need to rest and that God promises to give us rest and renewal. Many of these verses go on to mention that from rest and renewal comes strength. There are way too many verses to mention them here today. If I read them all, we'd make a whole message just on themselves. Praise God that many of them say, "From rest and renewal comes strength." "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Cease striving and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Psalm 46. "Yet those who wait for the Lord will regain their strength." Isaiah 40. We can find purpose, rest, renewal, and strength through God as our burdens lift based on the promises of God's written word. There are three elements to my message this morning. Rest. Resting our body and mind and our spirit. To have time to stop the rush of everyday life. To breathe deeply, to relax. I see this as an opportunity to experience God's creation, to appreciate the small, seemingly insignificant events that are going on around us, to notice what God may be pointing out to us in the quiet, still times. How do we hear from God if we are always talking and shouting at Him? Mark 6:31 says, well, we see Jesus telling His disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while." This follows the beheading of John the Baptist. John was Jesus' cousin. So imagine how distressed and upset Jesus and his disciples would have been when they heard this tragic news. It would have affected them hard, hearing such distressing news. They had been debriefing and talking about what had happened and what they'd been doing. I put it to you that they were talking about their busy lives and about the stresses they were under. Verse 30 says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they'd been doing all that they had done and had taught. Jesus then told them to find a quiet place and rest. To get away from it all, rest for a while," it says. And how do we rest in the Lord? When we rest in God, we seek Him in prayer, we read His word, and we praise and worship Him. Renewal. Romans 12:1 and 2. "Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." The rest I spoke about is an action that we take that comes from the outside into us as we make the actions to pray, to read our Bible, and to worship God. And now the renewal comes from the inside out through the Holy Spirit in us. Dan mentioned that we are washed by the sacrificing blood of Jesus Christ and by the pure water in his message this morning. That struck me. And I looked up John 19:34, and it says that the blood of Jesus washed us and the pure water. Where did the pure water come from? Did the Holy Spirit, and I see that as the Holy Spirit, the pure water is the Holy Spirit that washes us. And I put it to you, did the Holy, when Jesus died on the cross, he was pierced, and that's when the blood and the water came out of him. Did the Holy Spirit come to us then onto the earth when Jesus died? So that I always thought it came when he was ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came, you know, the Comforter came to us. But maybe when he died on the cross, it came to support and help his followers. The Holy Spirit had to wash over them then so that they could get through that difficult time that they were going to face, knowing that their Lord and Savior had died, and knowing that the way that Jesus was coming to the earth to save everybody was totally different than God's plan to what their thoughts and ideas were. In Romans 12:1, it says, we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means we give ourselves to God in worship with our whole lives, not just part of it. Our minds do not easily worship God. It takes effort and discipline, but our mind attitude can change through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. It is the triumphant power and transformation of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus that changes us. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can any of us be changed from the inside out. Psalm 23, which many of us may know quite well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd leads the sheep to all that they need, food, rest, and water. Jesus leads his people to all that we need. Remember, what we need is not always what we want. The Holy Spirit is our guide in our Christian walk. He gives us everything that we need to be renewed. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit and pray with the Holy Spirit. Strength. At times, Jesus too needed to be strengthened, both physically and spiritually. John 4 shows us that Jesus was physically tired. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he sat down at the well because he was tired and weary from his travels. His disciples had gone to get some food for Jesus, and he needed a drink from the well. Physical fatigue can inhibit the way God can move in our life just as much as spiritual fatigue. Before Jesus was arrested, he and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives to pray. Jesus was spiritually and emotionally drained. He knew his crucifixion was coming and was anticipating all the agony he would have to endure. He needed support. Luke 22:43. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Here again we see Jesus wanting to be alone and praying, bringing rest and stillness and clarity to his situation. We get our strength from God through the power of the Holy Spirit, not from our own courage and abilities. We may not always feel that we have God's strength, but Ephesians 6 talks about the strength we get from God, the strength we get from the armor of God. In verse 10 it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And again, it says in Isaiah 40:31, I leave you with, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. We all need time to rest, time to renew, and time to build up our strength.
Firstly, I just wanted to add to what Siobhan already said when we do the tag team preaching. When we've come up with our topic, we don't speak to each other again with what God has given us to talk about. So I do not apologise if you get the same scriptures or the same, sometimes if we just need someone to reiterate to us. I also want to add that Pastor Mike, when he gets up here to preach, makes it look so easy. And trust me, it's not. A strong young athlete was wading waist deep in the shallow part of a lake. Unknowingly, he stepped off an underwater ledge and plunged 15 feet beneath the surface of the water. After several seconds, he bobbed to the top of the water, waving his arms and gasping for breath. The lifeguard attentively stood and watched the situation. A friend of the struggling young athlete grabbed the lifeguard by the arm and cried out, "Bob can't swim. You've got to help him." The lifeguard remained unmoved as Bob continued kicking and splashing wildly. The young man's friend furiously yelled at the lifeguard, "If you won't go after him, I will." Calmly but firmly, the lifeguard said, "No one can help him yet. I'll help him when he's ready for my help." After a couple more minutes, the young athlete stopped his struggles and his body became limp. The patient lifeguard suddenly raced into the water, swam out to the young man and brought him to shore for a successful rescue. Later, the friend asked the lifeguard, "Why did you wait so long to help my friend?" The lifeguard responded, "As Bob was trying to save himself, there was nothing I could have done for him. If I had swam out to him, he would have grabbed me and pulled me under the water with him. Only when he was weak, exhausted, and given up was I able to save him." This story of struggle and exhaustion is not only a lesson for lifeguards, but it is also a powerful picture of what often occurs in our spiritual journey. At various times through our life, we often feel spiritually exhausted, worn out, tired of trying to please God by our own efforts, trying to do it all on our own. We need to learn how to experience rest. Only by learning to rest in Jesus will we have the strength we need to thrive. If all we needed was physical rest, we can take a nap. If we only needed emotional rest, we can take a holiday. But where can we find our spiritual rest? We know that it is important for our bodies to get a proper night's rest, and if we don't, there are unpleasant consequences. But if physical rest is important to our physical well-being, spiritual rest is even more important to our spiritual well-being. I don't know if any of you are like me, but our lives are so full of doing things, constantly busy with life. I can't sit still for any longer than 5 minutes at a time. And when I am sitting down, I'm always doing something with my hands, either on the computer, sewing, crocheting, etc., etc. My mind is constantly thinking and going round and round like a spinning top. But then, when I do have time to sit and do nothing, my mind takes over and it isn't long before it is filled with negative thoughts. The more I think, the bigger the problem becomes. A bit like night time, when the problems always seem so much worse in the darkness and silence of night. I recently went and saw my counsellor and was complaining I couldn't stop my mind from racing, and the more I thought about things, the more negative the situation became. I explained my mind seems to dwell on negative thoughts. She said to me, "Lynn, you have too much time on your hands when you're not working." I've been home from work for 5 weeks after the car accident. The more I think about things, the bigger the situation becomes. She then went on to ask me, "Lynn, what 5 things can you hear right now in this room?" It took me a while, but I listed 5 things after some time of being in complete silence and trying to hear things. It wasn't easy to hear 5 things unless I totally focused and listened hard for anything I could hear. Once I had listed the 5 things I could hear, she said to me, "And while you were listening quietly to the things you could hear and focusing on what you could hear, did you think of negative things?" Of course, my reply was no. She then said to me, "So if you sit in silence and focus on God and think of 5 things about God, you are clearing your mind and turning your focus onto something else. That something else is God." It made complete sense to me. Sometimes we just need to change our focus on things and focus on something else. What are you thinking about? Do you ever think about what you're thinking about? Do you know that you can choose your thoughts? That might seem like a strange thing to say, but the truth is many people don't realize they can choose what you think about. And it's important for us to choose our thoughts carefully because our thoughts have a lot to do with our perspectives and attitude. The best thing we can do is renew our minds with the Word of God so we can think like He thinks and experience His perfect plan for our lives. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice Jesus did not say, come to church to find rest. Salvation begins with meeting Christ personally. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We need to come to the one who knows the worst about us, but loves us anyway. We need to come to the one who loves us, accepts us, sees us as valuable and precious, and who is always ready to forgive us. It's often difficult for us, even when we're totally exhausted, to humble ourselves and admit our need for help. Perhaps the first step to rest is dealing with our pride. Jesus said we had to trade in our yoke for His. A yoke indicates a partnership, not a rest from labour. It's a physical tool designed to make the burden lighter. Two people working together are better than one, because you get more work done by working together, us and God working together. How much time do we waste trying to accomplish things in our own strength instead of just allowing the Holy Spirit to lighten our load, allowing God to take control? It means we must allow God to teach us something new. We have to be willing to learn a new way of doing things, because there's a difference between physically tired and spiritually weary. Jesus didn't promise rest for our bodies, He promised rest for our souls. Unfortunately, physical work will never end, but spiritual tiredness is a sign that something's wrong, that we're trying to live life in our own strength. First, Jesus said we have to ask for help. Rest doesn't come to us, we have to go to Him. He said, come to me. Jesus regularly invited people to come to Him to meet their needs. We often think of prayer as communication, where we talk and God listens. But we have it wrong. Prayer is a conversation. Not only do we need to talk to God, we need to learn how to listen to Him, to have those quiet times where we focus solely on God. Psalm 46:10, He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He tells us to be still and know that I am God. How often are we still, and do we take the time to just listen to God? Many find that generally listening to God is one of the most difficult things to do. First, I think a lot of it is because of how busy and crazy our schedules are. We're so loaded up with things that we don't ever take time to just stop and listen to God. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's why the Apostle Paul said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So how do we enter into Christ's rest? We do that by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Christianity is not a religion of struggling to do good works, but a relationship of resting in what has already been done. The work is already done. All we have to do is rest. If we want our lives to be transformed, we must renew our mind. We must change our thinking before we can change our life. We must be thinking thoughts of trust and faith and confidence in God. We must put away thoughts of fear, unbelief, worry, suspicion, unworthiness and doubt from our mind. Our mind must be dominated by thoughts of faith and trust in the faithfulness and goodness of God. Such positive thoughts will cause positive changes in our lives, and we will be renewed. If we want our lives to be transformed, we must fill our mind and heart with thoughts of thankfulness and gratitude towards God. Our mind must be dominated by gratitude for what we have, instead of dwelling with self-pity and complaining about what we do not have. We must base our lives on the Word of God and fill our hearts and minds with God's Word. If we want our lives to be renewed, we must fill our minds with the understanding of God's timing and purpose. We need to understand things happen in God's perfect timing. I was reminded of this yet again this week. As most of you know, I'm a nurse in an aged care facility. Within that role, I wear many hats. I have done various roles in my time at the facility. Over the past 12 months or so, I've been doing a clinical role, assisting with a dementia program. This involved 2 days a fortnight at another site of the same company. While I enjoyed this role, it was quite a stressful role, and a role where you constantly felt like you were hitting your head against a brick wall. So the long story short is that I decided while I was off work on sick leave that I no longer wanted to do that job. But this meant losing 2 days' pay per fortnight. This, of course, was a major worry to me. But I decided I needed the stress less than I needed the money, and I would have to just leave it up to God. I wrote the email first thing in the morning explaining my situation, explaining I no longer wanted to do the 2 days a fortnight. Well, that same afternoon, I received a Facebook message from a previous manager of mine who now works in another aged care facility. She asked me, did I know anyone who wanted any extra shifts? How good and perfect is God's timing? I have the interview on Thursday. We want our lives to be renewed. We must fill our minds with positive thoughts. Can the musicians please come up to play? Transformation comes when we renew our mind. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Once that happens, you will find yourself no longer conforming to the pattern of the world, but to the will of God. Our behaviour will change when our thinking changes. If there's no change in our behaviour, then we need to question our thinking. And lastly, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As we leave this morning, let's try and rest and renew our souls this week. Let's make the focus God, and let us share the testimonies like Libby's, which is just such a refreshing, renewing thing to hear such amazing testimonies. Let's hope that we can all come back next week and have an amazing testimony. Thank you.